الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with the book of Sharh Usul al-Iman, the explanation of the fundamentals of faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His favors upon us, all of us, in which we were able to go through a major portion of the book dealing with our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and breaking down that belief into the basics and the principles. And then we moved on to the belief in angels, al-malaika. And obviously this is the second of the arkan al-iman al-sitta, the six pillars of iman. No Muslim is a Muslim in this masjid and his salah was accepted unless he believes in the angels. And our belief in the angels is not based on our own intellect or ideology, rather it is based on textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we dealt with the reality regarding them, the fact that the angels have wings, the fact that they may come in the form of a man, as it was in the case with Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who entered upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions in the shape of a human being. Similarly, the angels that came to Ibrahim and Lut were also in the form of men. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may allow them or require of them to change their form at certain times for the wisdom which Allah knows about. But we believe that because of the textual evidences associated with that. We broke down the angels. We said part of our belief in the angels is the fact that some of them have particular duties, some requirements which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given each. And we mentioned Jibreel. Huh? What was the job of Jibreel? Well, not only the Prophet revelation. Right? Revelation in general. Wahi. The Wahi, he also came to Maryam. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him usually for the major tasks. He is the most, he has the highest status among the malaika. He has the highest status among the malaika. Muta' thumma ameen. He is obeyed and he is trustworthy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the most important of duties. Among them is the deliverance of the Quran to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So really when you think about the Quran, it's outstanding. The author of the book is who? Allah. Who spoke the verses that we read? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kalamullah. And who is the one who delivered it? Jibreel, the best of angels. Delivered it to who? Who was the recipient? The Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of mankind. And who was the audience? The Muslims. The best of people. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You were the best nation ever produced to people. So really, it's yani goodness upon goodness upon goodness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His ultimate mercy has chosen us, the Muslims, to be among the audience of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In better words, His followers. So the best speech given to the through the best messenger, angels among the angels, to the best human being messenger, and the best book, the Quran. Alhamdulillah, this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we need to really be mindful of how to show thankfulness to it. And you know, the scholars, they say shukr is three categories. You really do not have thankfulness to Allah unless you have three levels. The first one is that you acknowledge with your heart. Your heart acknowledges that this bounty is from Allah, not from His creation. So you have firm belief in your heart that this ni'mah is from Allah. Secondly, that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the tongue by praising Allah and saying Alhamdulillah subhanAllah and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as means of thankfulness. And thirdly, that you utilize whatever has been given to you in obedience to Allah. Allah gives you understanding of the deen, then you do that to better worship Allah and help the Muslims. Allah gives you money, you do that to help the Muslims, and so forth. Each one cannot really show thankfulness to Allah unless he utilizes that blessing he has received in terms of utilizing it in ways that are pleasing to Allah. We must use that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then and only then we have shukr. Allah says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And the Lord has proclaimed, if you show thankfulness, I will increase you. So the more we show thankfulness, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give one of us. So this is a win-win situation. You know, with this, we are getting the better end. But we just have to put these things into practice, inshallah. So then this was the duty of Jibreel alayhi salam. So we said Mika'il is the one who's been assigned for rain and vegetation, plants, whatever grows from the earth. Israfil, they were blown into the trumpet. Right, this is, and actually, the Prophet ﷺ said that he is currently, he is one of the hamala of the arsh, he is one of those who carry the throne of Allah Jalla Jalala. Furthermore, he currently has the trumpet ready, as if he is waiting for him to receive the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to blow into the trumpet. This is how soon the day of judgment is. Prophet ﷺ said, I was sent with the hour like this, and he brought these two fingers together. Meaning this is a distance, there's no distance between his advent and between the day of resurrection. I mean, this is the end of time, really. This is the end of time. We still have a lot of signs, but in comparison to the life or the age of the earth and the human beings from before, we are towards the end. We are the last nation. And the Prophet ﷺ is the last messenger. So Israfil is currently awaiting. He's waiting for the command for him to blow into the trumpet for the whole thing to be over. Allahu musta'an. وَمِثِلْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. We said Malak al-Mawt is the angel of death, and it is not correct to call him Israel. Israel is a name that is common among the people, but it has no basis in the Quran and the Sunnah. It is unauthentic. His name for the Quran is Malak al-Mawt, the angel of death. And that's what it is. He is the one assigned to take away the souls of the people, whether believers or otherwise. وَمِثِلْ مَالِكُ. We said Malik is the guardian of the fire. He is the guardian of the hellfire. May Allah protect all of us from the hellfire. طيب. Now we make it to this point. وَمِثْلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُوَكَّلِينَ بِالْأَجِنَّةِ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ إِذَا تَمَّ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَرْبَعَةُ أَشْهُرٍ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكًا وَأَمَرَهُ يَبْلُغُ بِكَتْبِ رِزْقَهُ وَأَجَلَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. They are the angels who are assigned to take care of the infants in the wombs of their mothers. When the human being or the infant reaches 4 months old, when he's 4 months old, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an angel who will write four things. Does anyone know what they are? Or at least one of them? Rizq, life. Age. That's the same thing. But yes.
Good or bad?
Good or bad? Yani deeds?
Deeds.
Deeds. And one more.
He goes to
Jannah or Jannah? Right. Heaven or Saqiyun or Sa'id. Happy or rich. Four things are written from a very young age. Four things. The first one, the risk, your sustenance. Whatever you will receive throughout your life, that includes everything. Even the breath that you breathe has been written way before you even came out of your mother's womb, before you were even delivered into this world. This has already been pre-decreed. We gave some explanation about the difference between pre-ordainment and free will. We still have the free will, although these things have been decreed, because we don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that this is the road to paradise, and He showed us what it is. This is the road to the hellfire, and He told us how to avoid it. Huh? And He decreed what we will do. But He gave each one of us a free will. No one feels forced or obliged to do one or the other. Because of that, we must do what an intellectual person does, do that which is good. I'll give you another example of the sacraments, inshallah. Al-Muhim, his sustenance. وأجله, his lifespan, how long he will live. So it's already been decreed where we going to die. وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت. No soul knows what he will earn the next day, and no soul knows in which place he will die. This knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وعمله, his deeds, good deeds, bad deeds, and so forth. And lastly, وشقي أو سعيد, rich or happy. يعني someone who's rich and someone who's destroyed, who's he was unsuccessful, is a loser. And سعيد, someone who's the opposite. And سعادة and فلاح are almost synonymous. That's why the Mu'adhin, he says, حي على الفلاح, come to success. Come to success. And you cannot really attain success unless you cannot attain sa'ada without success. And so in the call of the prayer is an indication that the acts of worship are the means of happiness, not our bank accounts. And this is a very major misconception that we have. We think that if you check into your bank account, you know, al-Rajhi, and it says that you have 50,000 riyal, life is good, you're happy. And if it says otherwise, you become unhappy. Now, of course, it is relevant because you may need money. So when you don't have money, you're unhappy. But this should not be the very, you know, decisive element of happiness or sadness. Rather, it should be iman. Iman, your faith, is that which will make you happy. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayhi, one of the famous scholars of the 7th century in Islam, he was in prison a number of times, not because he committed any crimes, he just gave fatawa, which was not really appreciated by some of the scholars during his time, who had some other opinion. So they imprisoned him, they incited the Sultan, the ruler, against him until he was finally imprisoned. So when they took him to prison, he made this statement that maybe none of us will ever be able to make. He said, what will my enemies do to me? What will my enemies do to me? My Jannah is in my chest. My Jannah is in my chest. Putting me in seclusion is basically being lonely with Allah. It doesn't mean that Allah is with him in the cell. We said Allah is above his creation, above his throne. But it means no one will disturb him from remembering Allah, from learning, from studying. Huh? Because sometimes too much interaction may affect our religious commitment. If you hang out with the wrong crowd, you will go astray. So he said, putting me in seclusion, in a prison, is means of me getting closer to Allah. If you kill me, I'm a martyr. Because he's dying in for the cause of Allah. You know, it's jihad of knowledge. Not with the sword, with the tongue, with the pen. And if you exile me, if you kick me out of the country, then it will be tourism. You know, whatever you're going to do to me, you cannot defeat me. And they say during this, he entered the prison and he found the people playing cards, you know, people playing, you know, the cards and dice, and everybody abandoned the salah. Then he preached them and he reminded them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the whole prison became a college of Islam. So much so that some of them, when their time was up, it was time for them to be released from prison, they didn't want to leave. They said, khalas, you've been here 3 years, ma'at salama. So I'm going to stay over here, man. He turned the prison into a school where the people learned the deen and the sunnah. And he changed the situation of all these people by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this, now if one of us goes to prison, Allahumma musta'an. Would we be able to say the statement? We would complain, we would lose our minds. An indication that maybe our iman is, of course, not at that particular level. So then iman is in the heart. It is through our happiness, is through iman. It is not through our bank accounts and what have you. وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. These are the fourth or fifth kind of angels. وَمِثْلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُوَكَّلِينَ بِحِفْظِ أَعْمَالِ بَنِي آدَمَ وَكِتَابَتِهَا لِكُلِّ شَخْصٍ مَلَكَانِ أَحَدُهُمَا عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَالثَّانِي عَنِ الشِّمَالِ. Another group of angels, they have been assigned to write the deeds of the children of Adam and the jinn. The angels who have been assigned, because the jinn are also held accountable. So whatever deed you do, you have an angel, one on the right and one on the left. They write down your deeds. So nothing is missing. In Surah Al-Isra, وَنُخْرِجْ لَهُ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. And we will present to him a book that will be spread out, scrolled out. You could read everything you've done. Every single little statement, every single thing we've done will be presented to us in a book. لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. This book will not leave out, not a small, nothing small or nothing big, except that it brought it to account. Everything would be mentioned and brought to us. Allahu musta'an. This is why the writer's predecessors, they used to, you know, panic from this reality that we would be asked about everything and we will have to have an answer for everything. So have we prepared answers for our deeds? If not, then we need to make some changes with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then they are assigned to write the angels, one on the right, one on the left. وَمِثْلِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُوَكَّلِينَ بِسُؤَالِ الْمَيِّتِ إِذَا وُضِعَ فِي قَبْرِهِ يَأْلِيهِ مَلَكَانِ يَسْأَلَانِهِ عَنْ رَبِّهِ وَدِينِهِ وَنَبِيهِ. And like the two angels that have been assigned to question the dead person upon being placed in the grave, the two angels, Munkar wa Nakir, will come and they will ask them three questions. They will ask him about his Lord, about his religion, and about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this could be tonight. This question could be tonight. Or maybe if you die tonight and they bury you tomorrow around Dhuhr time, then this could be tomorrow. This questioning is not like some 500 years from now, huh? Not some fictional event or something that we just, you know, believe in but not really believe in. You know, we believe but we don't really believe in terms of authentication. This is very soon, actually. Allah knows when it's one of our turn. One of us here, it could be his turn very soon. Then he will be questioned about these three things. Now, if we did not live according to the teachings of Islam today, we may not know how to answer this information which we know now. And I will give you a worldly example. These are some children, maybe they're children of some of you brothers. They go to school, right? Students are two kinds, huh? There's the kind that is really keen on learning. He sits in the class, doesn't play around, huh? He pays attention, he keeps up with the teacher, then when he goes home, he does the homework. He's always learning and memorizing. During the time of examination, what happens? He's already firm, huh? The knowledge has sunk in. It's grounded in his mind. So when the time of examination comes, it doesn't require much because he has been consistent in his studying. So it becomes an easy task. When he goes to the examination, on the day of exam, he's confident. Even if he's, you know, you fear the moment. Everybody fears the moment of examination, whether old or young. When you go for a driving test, you know, even if you're driving for 40 years, you are scared that you may fail. So this is human nature. Yet, although he may be afraid of the moment, huh? Because of the knowledge that he has, once he settles down, he will be able to give the answers. The other kind of students are those who play around. Huh? I hope none of you are these kinds. So I teach in the school, you guys drive me crazy. You know? The other kind are those who play around. Always teasing the teacher, not listening, disobeying. They don't get no homework, no classwork, no nothing. Then, before the examination, you know, his father calls a private tutor, say, listen, my son's exam is next week, and I need, you know, expensive, tutoring. Every day he comes 2 hours because I want him to pass. So the poor teacher comes to the house and he deals with the student who doesn't even know his name. He cannot even write his name, Muhammad, in English, you know, although he can write it in any way. Even that he doesn't know. And then you try to teach this guy everything that the teacher has been teaching the whole year in 1 week. It's not going to work, you know. And even if he may pick up some information, what happens? As soon as he enters into the examination, he will panic. And everything will just go away. And he will fail. Now, both may have received the same information, the good student and the bad student, both were taught the same. But depending on their behavior and their interaction with this information, they would either succeed or fail during the time of examination. Similarly, now we hear about Islam, we know about Islam, we understand Islam, but some of us really don't live Islam. Not in the full sense. So we think that at this, when the angels will get you up, you know, to ask you these questions, مَا رَبُّكَ know, you may know today, but you will not know in the grave. Because Allah said in the Quran, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah gives firmness, the ability to answer those who believe. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا with the right word. In this life and in the hereafter. And this is kind of saying, this is about the questioning in the grave. So Allah mentioned that He will only give this firmness in the return and replying to those who believe. And those who believe are not the average, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry. They're not the average Muslim, they are the real believers. So brothers and sisters, we must understand this reality then. And we don't want to be among the average Muslims because we don't know what the result is going to be. Because we know Muslims will go to the hellfire. We must strive to have the right Islam today. So when the angel of death, Munkar and Nakir asked us, مَا رَبُّكِ you say Allah. مَا دِينُكِ you say Islam. مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ Muhammad you say, هَذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ This is the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whereas the disbeliever and the Muslim who wasn't living according to the deen, the Prophet said he will say, this will be his reply. He will not know the answer. Although if you ask him today, alatul, he will give it to you alatul. But there was no implementation. So this is a reminder for me and you to step up in our practice of Islam. Enough laziness, enough waiting for other people to do the job, enough thinking that we are okay because we may not be okay and maybe no one else will do the job. You know, it's our responsibility to take care of ourselves and our family, our children, our family members, you know, the neighborhood, the neighbors, everybody. We must strive to elevate the status of Muslims, particularly in this country where you are able. In other countries, we cannot have this blood. In other places, there's so much munkar, so much evil, that it's very difficult for you to keep up with Islam. Here Allah has blessed us. You can avoid, there's evil, but you can avoid it. And there are people at the qahwa, you know, smoking shisha and smoking cigarettes, but you don't have to go in there. You don't have to go in there. You can just pass by and mind your business. In other places, this is not the case. It's almost forced upon you. So then we should understand that we must have real iman. So we will be able to answer the angels in the grave. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ يُثْمِرُ ثَمَرَاتٍ جَلِيلًا مِنْهَا Belief in angels produces benefits, many virtuous benefits among them. الأول العلم بعظمة الله تعالى وقوته وسلطانه فإن عظمة المخلوق من عظمة الخالق. First, to know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His power and strength and His authority. Because verily, the greatness of the creation is an indication about the greatness of the Creator. The greatness of the creation. If Angel Jibreel was in the form the Prophet ﷺ seen him, covering the horizon, and this is only the creation of Allah. And He's only part of the heavens and the earth and everything that is between them. And this whole vast universe. Then what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of the Creator? So this belief in angels will make us understand the greatness of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. الثانية شكر الله تعالى على عنايته ببني آدم حيث وكل من هؤلاء الملائكة من يقوم بحفظهم وكتابة أعمالهم وغير ذلك من مصالحهم. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His intimate care to the children of Adam. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned angels who have been required to write down their deeds, keep track of their deeds, and other things that are of benefit for them. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even the angels, they were help the believers. During the time of the battles between the Muslims and Muslims, the angels were there to support the believers. So they have many virtuous things that are a benefit for the believer. الثالث محبة الملائكة على ما قاموا به من عبادة الله تعالى. Thirdly, loving the angels because of what they have established of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned in the earlier description of the angels that they are glorifying Allah during the night and the day. They do not become bored. They are not weary of worshipping Allah. They do it continuously with love and fear of Allah. And hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a quality that we do not have in the ultimate sense. So we should love them for their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, here's a sensitive part. وَقَدْ أَنْكَرَ قَوْمٌ مِنَ الزَّائِغِينَ كَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَجْسَامًا وَقَالُوا إِنَّهُمْ عِبَارَةٌ عَنْ قُوَّةِ الْخَيْرِ الْكَامِنَةِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. A group of people who are deviant, misguided, have claimed that the angels do not really have a physical body. The angels do not have a physical body. They're just they're like a manifestation of the power of goodness in this world. The power of goodness is just manifested through the angels. There's no such thing as angels. They, as we know, this is a group of Muslims, supposedly, who deny that the angels actually have a physical body. And they say they're only a concept. They're only a concept of goodness. That's it. وهذا تكذيب لكتاب الله تعالى وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأجمع المسلمين. The Shaykh said this is belying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the consensus of the Muslims. Consensus meaning the mutual agreement among all those who are qualified to agree, because some people will be on vacation. He will now enumerate the evidences from the Quran that indicate that the angels are actually a physical body. In Surah Fatir, verse 1, قال الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قال الله تعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض جاعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث ورباع. All praise is due to Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth, who has made the angels messengers possessing wings in twos and threes and fours. So that clear text in the Quran that the angels have wings. If they have wings, it's a physical body. It can no longer just be a conception of power as those people claim. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 50, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. If you only see how those, the disbelievers, when their souls are taken by the angels, and the angels are striking their faces and their backs, so then the angels will actually be beating them, the disbelievers, and that requires a physical body. Thirdly, Surah Al-An'am, verse 93, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُوا أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. And if you see, if you can only see the wrongdoers during the agonies of death, and the angels have their hands stretched out, they're telling the disbelievers, deliver your soul. Deliver your soul. Take out your soul. And the disbelievers don't want their souls to leave, because they have realized what they're going to come across. From that very moment of leaving, they know that there's going to be destruction upon destruction from that moment on. So they don't want their souls to leave. They love to live the dunya. They like to live in this dunya. They don't want to leave. وقال تعالى in Surah Saba, verse 23, حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. And when fear has banished from their hearts, the angels, they will say, what did your Lord say? They will be said to them, الحق, the truth, وهو العلي الكبير, and he is the most high, the most great. So then again, the angels, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that they have hearts. When the fear has vanished away from their hearts, all these are descriptions of the angels, but they are unlike us in the ultimate sense. They're not human beings where they eat and drink of the sort, but they have bodies for the Quranic textual evidences and that from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وقال في أهل الجنة in Surah Al-Ra'd, verses 23-24, والملائكة يدخلون عليهم من كل باب سلام عليكم بما صبرتم فنعم عقب الدار. And the angels shall enter upon them from every gate of paradise. The angels will enter upon the believers. They will say to them, peace be upon you for your persevered patience. فنعم عقب الدار. What an excellent home is the final home. The excellent home is not the one that we live in today. Sometimes you run out of water, sometimes there's no electricity, you know, sometimes you have to pay for painting, and what have you. The real home is in Jannah. This is the فَنِعْمَ عَقْبَ الدَّارِ. This is the ultimate final home for the believers. Anywhere the angels enter upon them from the different gates of Jannah, and they will say to the inhabitants of Jannah, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be upon you. وفي صحيح البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا أحب الله العبد نادى جبريل إن الله يحب فلانا فأحبه، فيحبه جبريل فينادي جبريل في أهل السماء إن الله يحب فلانا فأحبوه، فيحبه أهل السماء ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض. Listen to this particular narration, which had the continuation that wasn't mentioned here, but maybe I will mention inshallah. In Sahih Bukhari, on the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whenever Allah loves a servant of His, He will call out to Jibreel and He will tell him that I love Fulan. Fulan is like X person. So this is applicable to whoever is being discussed in the context. So if your name is Ahmed, Muhammad, Rabi', Mustafa, Shakur, whatever your name is, if Allah loves you, then He will call out to Jibreel and He will say, I love such and such person, imagine it is you, inshallah it is you, by your name. Then Jibreel will love you. Then he will call upon the angels, the inhabitants of the heavens. He will say, verily Allah loves such and such person, so love him. Then the inhabitants of the heavens, the angels, will love you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put acceptance and love for you on earth. And the only ones who will hate you are those who are misguided or those who love evil by nature. Because not the people of goodness, the ulama, the scholars, are not always loved by everyone. Except, you know, those of goodness as well. It's like, you know, buddies get along with each other. The people of evil, they love each other. And the people of good, they love each other. So what is intended here? The people of goodness. Acceptance will be put for this particular individual upon earth. This is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a servant. And maybe you may ask, what do I do? How can I be qualified? What are the requirements, the prerequisites, the conditions for me to be among those whom Allah loves? There are many verses in the Quran and many narrations from the Sallam. I will mention to you just a few of them. Allah says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And do good, do good. Verily Allah loves the good doers. So any form of goodness that you do, whether in the worship of Allah or to the creation, will make you, enable you to be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Verily Allah loves those who often repent, continuously repent, and those who purify themselves. So repentance is inner purification, tatahur is outer purification, wudu, ghusl, and washing yourself and making yourself that you, making sure you are clean. Allah loves that. Every time you make wudu or ghusl, you are attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the most crucial verse is the one of Surah Al-Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you claim that you love Allah, then follow me, the Prophet Muhammad sallam, Allah will love you. That's it. That's it. If you want Allah to love you, it's a promise by Allah in the Quran. Follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What? Part time? 25%? 15%? 50%? How much? In everything. To the best of our ability. We cannot be like him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's the best of the creation. We're just imitators. Huh? We will try. We will have shortcomings. We cannot be like him. But where are those who really try? The problem is that today we don't even try. We disqualify ourselves automatically and we say that this is for the other good people. I am just a regular brother. Ma'lish, you do the sunnah. As for me, I cannot do the sunnah. This is unacceptable. No one should say that. Each one of us is qualified. Very simple things sometimes, very simple things. Ya akhi, as simple as putting, which shoe do you put on first? If you leave the masjid, wallah, you will see wonders. Maybe from the, unfortunately, if you watch 100 brothers, 3 of them, or 4 of them will put the right shoe first. And the 96 will put the left shoe first. This is the simplest of sunnah. It doesn't take knowledge, it doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take much iman, it doesn't take effort. You're gonna put on your shoes anyways. Ya Shaykh, put the right one first. What's the big deal? But some people, even that little thing, doesn't matter for them. They know. The average Muslim knows that. Any Muslim knows you begin with the right. And you know, the left is for the majority. Everybody knows that. But you will see that many people don't even bother to implement the most simple of things. Although, wallahi, If you put the rasul first, wallahi, you're getting the love of Allah. You are attaining the love of Allah by putting on your shoe. Not because of that, because of the following, not because of the shoe. And with that, many other things. Simple things from the sunnah that each one of us is able to do tonight. Open the book of Riyadh al-Salihin of Imam Nawawi. Read the akhir, the sunnah. Simple things in terms of eating, drinking, how to eat, how to drink, what to say, entering the bathroom, leaving the bathroom. Very basic, practical sunnah that are within our reach. But sometimes we could care less about them. So if you want to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get this privilege that Allah would call on to Jibreel to love you, and then the angels will love you, then people will love you on earth, then all you have to do is follow the sunnah. Subhanallah. And this is the objective of life. This is why we're here. And some of us turn away from all that. With the love of Allah and the objective of life and success and Jannah, all this is a price for just doing some simple basic things. And some of us turn away from that deliberately. They say, oh, is this the sunnah? Is this the sunnah? Is this the sunnah? I only worship Allah according to faridah. Anything obligatory, bismillah. Anything sunnah, this is not for me. Subhanallah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There you have in the Messenger of Allah a good example. Allah did not mention in what aspect, in everything. So each one of us is one of two people. You know, there's no much philosophy here. We either will implement or we will turn away. We have the choice today, but on the day of judgment we will regret or we will be happy. We will either regret ignoring the reminders, or we say Alhamdulillah that we got the reminder and we implemented the reminder. So let's be among the second and not among the first. So then this was a hadith. وفيه أيضا عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان يوم الجمعة كان على كل باب من أبواب المسجد الملائكة يكتبون الأول فالأول فإذا جلس الإمام قوموا الصحف وجاءوا يستمعون الذكر. In Sahih Bukhari also, the Prophet ﷺ said, no, عفوا, from the hadith of Abu Huraira, it didn't mention where it is. He said, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, if it is the day of Friday, on the day of Jumu'ah, the day of Friday, the angels will actually sit at the door. And they will write down the name of the brothers who come, al-awwal fal-awwal, yani first come, first serve. Huh? The first one, then the one after, then the one after. Until the imam sits, when he comes in, says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, then he sits down, the mu'adhin calls the second adhan. Once the imam sits down, the angels will fold, the scrolls, the books, they will close them. They will no longer write, and they will sit down to listen to the reminder, to the dhikr, to the khutbah. So where are we from those? I'm not being critical, just trying to criticize. I'm trying to remind myself and you brothers about some very easy aspects of our deen that we have become negligent of. Whether this masjid or the other masjid that I've been to, at the time when the imam is already on the minbar, there are two lines, two rows, a masjid, a huge masjid, two rows. And Jumu'ah, everybody's day off. Yani the people who work on Friday, who have to come from work to the Jumu'ah, you can count them on your fingers. Maybe labor workers or something like that. Usually this is your day off. And a person will give a sleep from, you know, Allah knows what time. Goes to bed at 5 in the morning, miss Fajr, and then sleep all the way to Jumu'ah. Then he wake up at the sound of the adhan, no ghusl, no nothing, yalla. Barely wudu and run to the masjid in the very back row, you know, way beyond, he doesn't know what's going on, what happened, what he missed. And you know, we want to enter Jannah, we want to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this easy thing, it's your day off, Yashir. Go to sleep early and wake up early and come to the masjid early. As long as you are waiting for the salah, you are given the reward of salah. Have you ever prayed for 2 hours? Has any one of us had a salah that lasted 2 hours? But if you come to the masjid at 11 o'clock or 10:40 and the imam gets up at 12:40, 2 hours, 2 hours you've written salah. You've written that you are in salah, but you're sitting down, reading the Quran. So you're getting the reward of the Quran and that of the salah. And Allah assigned angels who will continue to say, Allahumma akhbir lahu, Allahumma rahmahu, Allah forgive him, Allah have mercy on him, as long as you are in the masjid. All this is easy. All you have to do is do it, and some of us just don't care. We think we have so many good deeds, we don't need more good deeds. I'm okay. It's misconceptions among the Muslims. So, you know, the angel is writing down your name when you come in. Abdullah, first brother, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. You will be closer on the day of judgment. You will be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment if you are closer to the Imam in this dunya. And this is not only regarding the Jumu'ah, this is the 5 daily prayers. Even the Salawat al-Khams. This masjid is amazing, this particular masjid, other than any other masjid in the Mamlaka. Because the Iqama is called late, later than the other masajid, the brothers also have understood that they can also be late. You see, there's harmony. The Iqama is called maybe 10 minutes after every masjid, and the brothers come 20 minutes after every masjid also. Except for those you can count on your fingers. Otherwise, 20 minutes into the adhan, asr or something, there's only 4 brothers. And who? The senior citizens. The 80-year-old brother who needs someone to help him to come to the masjid, coming with a cane, who has to sit on a chair, or the very young children. And those who are able and capable, still at home, cooking some hamburgers and stuff like that. Maybe. If it's eating time, not be mushkila, you should put the food first. But if it's just for luxury. So in reality, this is applicable to the salawat al-khams. You have to come to the masjid early, get this blessing, get this reward. It's available, readily available. And this is the only currency for the hereafter. No halala, no riyal, no dollar, no pounds, no nothing. The only currency that you can purchase Jannah with the mercy of Allah, after the mercy of Allah, is your good deeds. And you have this short life to compile, accumulate good deeds. So an intelligent person, he understands these things, and he, you know, rationally, he put them into practice. Say, let me get good with the things that are easy for us. These are easy things. There are more difficult things. I'm not trying to make things difficult. Wallahi, these are easy. All we have to do is fight with the shaitan. Fight with him and kick him out of the way. And just put these into practice. Jumu'ah, salawat al-khams, come earlier. Come early to the salah. Yani, this is from the sha'air of Allah. And it's an indication of taqwa. This is an indication that you love Allah. On Jumu'ah, you don't come wearing pajamas or, you know, wearing your working clothes. You come wearing the best clothes on Jumu'ah. The Prophet indicated this in many narrations. You come on Jumu'ah wearing your best clothes, looking the best on the day of Jumu'ah. You come early, this is an act of worship. If you were to visit right now the Amir of some neighbor, how would you go? Would you go half asleep? Would you go late? You will fix yourself and you will prepare yourself and you put the best cologne and the best clothes you have to go meet some person, or maybe somebody coming from travel. Your relative coming from, you know, home country. You go in the best way. That we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the masjid to pray to Allah. We come, ayy kalam? Again, yani this is not befitting. So anyways, this is an indication that the angels then write down the names of the brothers who enter the masjid. So inshallah from now on will be among the first comers to the masjid. وهذه النصوص صريحة في أن الملائكة أجسام لا قوى معنوية كما قال الزائغون وعلى مقتضى هذه النصوص أجمع المسلمون. He said these textual evidences are clear in indicating that the angels are actually physical bodies, and they are not, as those who are deviant said, they're just power, a form of power. And this is based on these textual evidences. The Muslims have agreed, and the consensus agreed that, you know, the angels are of this nature. They have bodies, they're made out of light, they have wings, and they are unlike the human beings. The next point to discuss is the Iman in the Kutub, which I think I will leave it to next week, bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. So then we have discussed already belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the angels, and now we will be coming to the belief in the books. How do we benefit from the books? And the books is indeed the scriptures. The scriptures, the God, Allah, the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. We will leave that till next time inshaAllah. We have maybe at least 5 minutes for questions. If anyone has some simple question that can be answered on the spot, then, you know, go ahead. Inshallah. Otherwise, you know, we will continue with Allah Azza wa Jalla next week.
He told the angel from right side and left side, they are writing the good or bad deeds.
Yes.
What is the name of the
Allahu A'lam.
Yes, it is not Kraman Kathibin. People are telling like that, Kraman Kathibin.
Well,
Kraman one angel, Kathibin one angel. It is wrong, sir.
Well, I mean, this is their description. They're not their name. Their description is Kiraman Kathibin. Kiraman meaning they're noble. Kathibin, writers. So they are noble writers. This is a description of them, not necessarily their name like Munkar and Nakir, you know, or Jibreel. Because Jibreel is not a description, it's his name. So Kiram al-Katibin is a description of the angels, not their name. عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد, يعني this is the verse that is used, which is on the right and left, قعيد is sitting. And so I don't know of any name for them. The Shaykh didn't mention, otherwise he would have mentioned their names.
Because in our own country, they think Kramal is a name, Khatibin is another name.
Oh,
like that.
No. Kiraman, like Quran Kareem.
Khatibin, two angels.
Right? Oh, no. Let's clear the misconception. Kiraman, like the word Kareem, Quran and Kareem. And Karama or Kareem is noble, generous, and things of the sort. So Kiraman is a description of the Malaika. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. So Allah describing the angels who keep down the record that they are كِرَامًا, a description, noble, generous, كَاتِبِينَ from كِتَابَ, كِتَاب, writing. So this is not their names, كِرَامًا and كَاتِبِينَ. This is only an attribute of them, describing them. Their names, the Shaykh mentioned that we believe in some of their names. He mentioned some we don't know their names, and among them he mentioned those. So we don't know their names. And the Shaykh didn't mention, and this book is very, straight to the point. Had they had names that are authentic, he would have mentioned them. So they're just, the angels are write down their deeds, our deeds, but not, they don't have names. And it's not Kiram and Kachibi.
So the writing angels, right and left, it is not two angels, more than two?
No, it says, one for right, one for good deeds, two angels. Each person has two angels.
Oh, okay.
Nah.
Allah. But some people are Raqib and Atib who write the deeds.
What are the names?
Raqib and Atib.
Allah. If this is the case, when someone tells you that their name is Raqib and Atib, say, I need the Dalil, I need the evidence. Is it Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawood? Where do I find it? So we can study the chain of narrations and see, is this really their names or otherwise? Otherwise, people come up with anything, unfortunately. So we have to verify authenticity before we make this their name. If you're done, everybody can go. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. جزاكم الله خيرا.